speak to us now, Lord, from your word. Speak to us through your Holy Spirit. Build us up in our faith. Guide us into your truth. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. And then equip us to point others to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. It's a very real privilege for Joyce and I to be back at St. Barnabas. And as I looked over and saw Ray and Sheila, I remembered several very late night finishes up in the gallery of the Cypher group many, many years ago. Joyce and I came in 1979. By the time we left in 1992, Joyce, Catherine, Richard and I had learnt so much from this church. We owe this church a very great deal, perhaps especially those who taught in the Sunday school, who gave our two children a brilliant grounding in the Christian faith. It was great to be able to stay in touch with Ian and Jenny, and then with Eric and Jane, and quite often to pick their brains about things. And great, too, to be at college with David and Lindsay. Lindsay has an amazing ability to befriend students, to introduce them to faith, and to pray with them. David has helped train about 250 Durham-based ordinands for ministry. He's increased our understanding of why and how churches grow. David has an infectious laugh, and it's a laugh that you'll soon recognize. They're a humble and godly couple, and they're very much looking forward to coming to St. Barnabas. I want to begin, if I may, by sharing with you one of my most embarrassing teenage experiences. It was on the upper bus, on the upper deck of a London bus. My mother and I were on the way home when all of a sudden she said to me, "I need a word with that lady." "Do you know her?" I asked. "No, but I need to pray with her," came the reply. That wasn't exactly what a self-conscious 14-year-old particularly wanted to hear. And as my mother went to sit next to that lady, I looked to see if any of my friends were on the bus. None were. My mum asked the lady what the matter was, and the lady burst into tears and told her story. And when she finished, my mother said, "Please don't worry, the Lord will deal with that. May I pray for you?" "Yes, please," was the reply. The minute my mother finished, the lady smiled and said, "I'm off at the next stop." She stood up, gave my mother a kiss, and then turned and said to me, "Your mum's an angel." Again, they're not words a teenage boy particularly wants to hear, especially on a London bus. My mother returned to her seat. I think I must have been very red, because she said something like, "I'm sorry if I embarrassed you," knowing very well that she had. How was she led to that woman? How did she know what to say? How did she know the Lord would deal with that lady's problem? That was a very specific instance of being guided and led by the Holy Spirit, and it made a huge impression on me. In fact, it was one reason that I made the decision to make my own the faith of my parents. How is it possible for us to live the sort of life Jesus wants us to live? How is it possible for us to live something of the life that Jesus himself lived? In part, the answer is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who's as much a part of the Godhead as the Father and the Son. He's the third person of the Trinity, and he inspires and teaches us, strengthens us, and comforts us, and gives us the power and insight we need to live for God and to point others to him. You'll remember the context of our reading from John. Calvary and crucifixion were now close. They're uppermost in Jesus' mind. He must help his disciples understand. There's an urgency about his teaching and praying in chapters 15 to 17. People had come to Jerusalem to remember God's deliverance as they celebrated the Passover. And during Jesus' final meal with his closest friends, he promised them the Holy Spirit. It's helpful to feel something of the tension of that scene. Judas has left, and Jesus is with those who would determine the effectiveness and the outcome of his mission. Everything would depend on those 11. So his time with them was very precious, vital. Having eaten, they've left the upper room. It's dark. They're making their way to Gethsemane, and the disciples' minds are full of questions. Why had Judas walked out on them? What's going on? Is this it? The disciples had been unnerved by Jesus' prediction of his death. So this was the moment to explain something more about the work and person of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus would leave them. There would be the pain and questions and the loss that always accompanies separation. But Jesus would continue with them in a new and different way. He'd be with them in the same way he would from now be with his followers the world over, the way he is with us, the way he's been with each of his followers for 2 millennia. The disciples wouldn't fully understand what Jesus was saying then. Of course they wouldn't. But it would all make sense when the Holy Spirit actually came. They need to hear now. They'll understand later. And having taught them, Jesus prays for them. That must be our model. Thank God for those who teach and pray for the church's work with children and young people, the work with students and Alpha. Teaching and prayer together is spiritually powerful and effective. This then is the background to these 4 verses, which address 2 huge questions. First, they tell us some very important things about what God is like. That's why this passage is in fact read so often on Trinity Sunday. And second, they explain how God guided those first disciples and how he guides us. Verses 12 to 15 of chapter 16, it's page 1023 in the Church Bibles. And in these verses, Jesus explains the ministry of the Holy Spirit to his disciples in what will be their ongoing work within the church. He's explaining how things will be after he's died, risen, and ascended. Verses 12 and 13. Jesus said, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come." There's more, says Jesus. The Holy Spirit will say more than the disciples could bear at that particular moment. But what the Spirit says is never more than taking what belongs to Jesus and making it known to the disciples. For Jesus is the focus and final word of God's revelation. As John explains at the very beginning of his gospel, Jesus is God's self-disclosure. Jesus is God's final expression. God is as he is in Jesus. Verse 13 tells us so much about the Holy Spirit. It tells us that he's a person. Tells us that he's different from Jesus. Tells us that he's the Spirit of truth, that he steers or guides us into the whole truth about God, and that he will only say what he hears, only say what's God's truth. The Holy Spirit will explain what's ahead, but he won't speak separately from God, for he himself is God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. We cannot get to the Spirit except through Jesus, just as we cannot get to Jesus except through the Spirit. You see, Jesus is both the unique bearer of the Spirit and the unique dispenser of the Spirit to those who follow him. John has just told us that Jesus is the truth. And just as Jesus never spoke or acted on his own initiative, but said and did exactly what the Father gave him to say and do, so in the same way, the Spirit only says what he hears. He unpacks and explains the significance of Jesus' death, resurrection, and exaltation. He makes known and fleshes out the implications of God's self-disclosure in the person and work of his Son. The Spirit of truth will enable the disciples to grasp the truth that's been taught to them by Jesus. He'll enable them to understand the depths and the height of the revelation they've not yet grasped. When Jesus came into the world, he brought the truth. It was present in him. And what the Spirit does is open up the way to that truth for all believers then and now. Verse 14, Jesus said of the Spirit, he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. It's as if the Holy Spirit is shy and always pointing away from himself to Jesus. Jesus provides the Holy Spirit with what he reveals and makes known to us. It's through the Spirit that Jesus continues speaking to his followers after his ascension. God speaks. Isn't that a brilliant truth? He reveals himself through his word, through his Son, and through his Holy Spirit. And so our job is to listen and to listen carefully to God. The theologians explain the work of the Holy Spirit by saying that he universalizes the presence of Jesus and that he internalizes the presence of Jesus. And what they mean is this. When Jesus was on earth, he was limited by space and time. His physical departure at his ascension was linked with the coming of the Holy Spirit. And with the coming of the Holy Spirit, there would be no barriers of space and time. There'd be nothing to prevent the disciples having intimate contact with Jesus because the Holy Spirit universalizes his presence. Jesus can be as well known in Montreal as in Middlesbrough. At Pentecost, the disciples found their relationship with Jesus renewed and in fact found it closer than their companionship with him had ever been during his earthly ministry. Jesus had dwelt with his disciples. Now the Holy Spirit would dwell in them. And in this way, he would internalize Jesus. Jesus ascended to heaven. So how can he live in each of us today? Jesus lives in us through the Holy Spirit, who internalizes his presence, which means that Jesus can be known personally. Just as the Son brought glory to the Father, so the Holy Spirit brings glory to Jesus. The Holy Spirit unfolds the person and work of Jesus. And that's what Jesus meant when he said here that the Spirit would take from what is mine and make it known to you. All the revelation bound up in Jesus are pressed home on the disciples by the Holy Spirit. And at that point in time, the Spirit's main focus was those 11 disciples who, when Jesus had spoken, couldn't cope with more than he gave them. But they needed to be guided into all the truth of that revelation of God in Jesus that they'd been privileged to witness. They needed to understand it. And the evidence of what the Holy Spirit achieved can be seen in Peter's astonishing sermon in Jerusalem at Pentecost just a few weeks later. Verse 15, Jesus said, "All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." The Father is God, as are the Son and the Spirit. we believe, as we've remembered this morning in the Trinity. Our God is unique. Everything that the Father has been given to the Son. And therefore, if you want to know what God is like, which is one of those two big questions we began with, we must look at and get to know Jesus. God is as he is in Jesus. The Holy Spirit receives from the Son what the Son has received from the Father and reveals that to us. The Holy Spirit is sent to succeed or follow Jesus and to do for the disciples what Jesus had done for them during his earthly ministry. The Holy Spirit equips them for their mission, just as he equipped Jesus for his, and just as he'll equip us for ours. For the Holy Spirit to accurately represent Jesus, he had to remain bound to Jesus' person and character, a bit like a personal counselor. The Holy Spirit applies the good news of Jesus to the hearts of individuals. He's the powerful advocate who goes ahead of us, goes ahead of the church in drawing men and women to faith. And the Spirit shares the truth of Jesus, shares it with the disciples after his ascension. But there's more to it than that. The Spirit doesn't just share the truth of Jesus, he actually shares Jesus himself. Of all the resources that the church has, the greatest is this, that Jesus is among us. Isn't that amazing? The mission is his, not ours. We go not so much for him as with him. Some will have heard of Jean Darnell. 35 years ago, she came to speak at a midweek meeting here at St. Barnabas. And after her talk, she said she'd like to pray with two or three people, and then went on to say something extraordinary. She mentioned a lady with a problem at the back of her right foot, just above her heel. The lady in question was the curate's wife. She went forward for prayer. Her right foot was healed. And then Jean Darnell said some very positive things about what would prove to be her future ministry. Looking back now, we can see that those things have proved to be true. Another very specific way in which the Spirit foretold the future. Now, the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding is, of course, usually given to us via our conscience, usually given to us via the Christian teaching we receive, via the advice of Christian friends, via the thoughts that occur to us when we pray. Individually and as a church, we need wisdom and guidance. So let's think about our second question. How can we know whether we're being led and guided by the Holy Spirit? Here are four helpful tests. First, is our understanding consistent with God's word? Second, is it consistent with what we know of Jesus as he's portrayed in the Gospels? Third, we can ask if it's holy, for the Spirit is indeed holy. If it's truthful, for the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And fourth, we should ask, what do other Christians think? Those in our church, those in other churches. It was John Stott who said, it takes the whole people of God to discern the whole counsel of God. This then is how God guides us through his Holy Spirit. In 2011, during a time of prayer at our church in Scarborough, a church member had a picture of moths being attracted to the light. Their frantic flapping meant the light was beginning to be obscured. That was the picture. It's a picture that's been received in several churches. But the person wasn't sure what it meant. Another church member said she thought the light must be Jesus and that we were the moths. She thought that the picture might be about over-busyness. Overactivity would obscure the church's view of Jesus. We'd focus on activity and not on him. The picture was a warning. that Holy Spirit-given insight helped shape the church's vision for the next few years. We decided that if we wanted to start a new activity, then we needed to stop something we were currently doing. Don't simply add new activity to existing activity, was what the Lord seemed to be saying. He was also telling us that we must keep him in sight at all times. Our vision and our lives must be full of Jesus and full of the life, the light that he sheds. Our first question was this: what do we learn from these verses about what God is like? They tell us that our God is personal and that he's big, in fact, three persons in one. We also see that God wants a relationship, which is why he communicates with us. That's a wonderful truth. And we respond by communicating with him in praise and adoration, in confession and repentance, in petition and thanksgiving. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. I know some people are a bit nervous about the work and person of the Holy Spirit, but he is the Spirit of Jesus, and you can't have one without the other. Jesus was about to die. Incredibly, in Jesus, God himself was going to be crucified. Jesus had invested 3 years in his disciples. In a way, his mission depended on them. They were key people. And after his ascension, those 11 disciples weren't just going to look back and fondly remember Jesus. They were going to be indwelt by him. And so are we. That's astonishing. They were going to indwell him as we do. In every generation, Jesus' mission is bound up with his disciples. It's always crucial that those who know and have received the truth go on to live out the truth and are indwelt by the Spirit of truth. Jesus' mission today depends on us telling friends and colleagues, loved ones and neighbours, for the flame spreads as others are told. And telling leads to hearing, hearing leads to receiving, and receiving leads to indwelling. And as we've heard this morning, indwelling leads to guidance by the Spirit of truth. Indwelling leads to guidance on behalf of the one who is the truth. Indwelling leads to guidance into all the truth. Just as we sit, let's pray. Jesus said, when the Advocate comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify. So, Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us, indwell us, make us more like Jesus. Enable us to point others to him. For we ask this in his name. Amen.